Should, hasn't
Hello,
There we are.
everyone. Yeah, absolutely. This is here. Hello, everyone. This is Ronnie from the Love Fruit podcast, and I'm here with my guest today, Jill Swires. And let me tell you a little bit about Jill just before we start. She worked in the catering industry for years. She's worked in Greece, South Africa, Portugal, Austria, Switzerland, France, had a catering company in London as well. And she actually, for years, suffered from low energy levels, felt debilitated, and was diagnosed as suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, hypoglycemia, candida, and Raynaud's disease. And she started to believe that her condition could be potentially linked to diet, started going down the path of making changes there, ended up being qualified Hippocrates health educator and become a Hippocrates ambassador as well, which is a very well-known raw foods institute. And she then has went on to help other people with that information and advice. So I'm pleased to be speaking to you today, Jill. And is there anything else you'd like to say about yourself as an introduction?
Well, I've been very fortunate to also work at Hippocrates Health Institute. I used to go out there every year, staying with my friends, got sprouts, and just going in voluntary to work. But to me, voluntary means work all day. And so I worked with different departments, with guests who were staying there, whether it's cancer, diabetes, you name it. And I gained a, I always called it updating my training, and it was the best thing I ever did. It's helped so much with working with people outside in other countries, etc. So,
Fantastic. So could we maybe talk about what was your start really? Were you brought up on a healthy diet, on a conventional diet, or what was your background?
I don't know about healthy, but vegetables, I will say, were part of it when I think about it. How they were cooked might be another story, but we had to eat them. And it was if you didn't finish them then at the meal, then you have to have the meal later. Whether I like them or not, I'm not sure about that. But we all had that and overcooked cabbage at school and things like that. But to be honest, I think it's so important. And we were being taught well as children, but didn't appreciate it at the time. Now, of course, it's one of the main things I push a lot.
For sure. So, did you have any health issues as you were growing up?
I had things like bronchitis. I used to get colds and things, but one thing we were taught, at least through myself, is that you still had to go to school even if you were unwell. And the only thing was to come off sport, have a letter to say you couldn't do sport because you were unwell. But apart from that, life had to go on. And I always joke now and say, well, of course, that shouldn't have happened because I'm lazy at times. I encourage sport, don't worry, and yoga and things. But even I can be lazy. But yes, I had health challenges, but life went on, and that's the way it is. And
So,
now it's changed.
where actually were you brought up?
Originally in Surrey in Sussex,
All right, okay.
yeah, and then things changed, so we ended up in the other side of Brighton, and I was pushed away to school, and food was my addiction in those days.
Right.
I was, if we'd had Sunday lunch, seconds and thirds, and I couldn't wait to get home because I was still hungry. I never understood why. Of course, I do now, and it's more balanced. And the addiction will always be there, like it is with smoking, drugs, alcohol, you name it. But if you're the right balance, it's fantastic. You've got my greens here. I don't just drink juice, but that's part of it. And yes, onwards and upwards. I would say every year gets easier.
Fantastic. So, at what point did you start to make changes to your diet or realize that there might be something wrong there?
Good question. Right. I had my catering business in London and we had to move premises. Basically, they upped the rent so much. And as the accountant said, it's not worth anything unless you own the property. And in the end, at the time, I had lumps and bumps in the front and various places. And I was very overweight. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to pack my bags and go to Portugal, sell the business. Which everybody was shocked at the time. I was shocked for about 3 years myself. That's called ego. And it had a very good reputation. And, you know, anyway, it took me a while to get over the shock of selling it, but it was the best thing long term.
It was a very
And
successful business then.
it was, yes. And I was catering in Portugal anyway, so I continued for a bit there. And then gradually I thought, I'm just as exhausted. And then thought, right, I have to lose weight once and for all.
Right.
And so I was quite overweight. If I hadn't changed then, would I be here now? Or would I be so obese, like sadly so many people are these days? You know, you just don't know how to cope. So I did food combining, not mixing carbohydrate and proteins in those days. And gradually gave up things and then became vegan. But I did a gradual process and I noticed how much better I was when I wasn't eating meat, I wasn't getting angry or tetchy, etc. And so, and it made a big difference. But of course, I wasn't getting advice at the time. So I was still thinking about food just as much. And then I was very fortunate to, what was I doing? Got involved with aloe vera juice. I'm an Australian company in those days, but they pulled out of Europe, so I don't use them now. I support what's local and or who brought stuff in. And then I was very fortunate to get involved with nutrition and hear Hippocrates Health Institute speaking in London. And food was the subject that day, but of course, it's not just food, there's a whole circle. But in the end, I was fortunate about 2 or 3 years later to be able to go out there and as a paying guest, then go as a student. And it's been onwards and upwards ever since.
That's brilliant. And you mentioned that you started off with some food combining, and initially you were trying to lose some weight. And what was the initial influences there? Did you find books? Was there a person that you were helping with or get help from? Or how did it go? How did it work for
Yes,
you?
the book I was following, oh, it's so well known, my brain's gone. Food combining with Doris Hay, Doris. Oh my, I can't believe I've forgotten the name. I know it's here somewhere. Anyway, I followed that, i.e., not mixing meat and not mixing carbohydrates and protein. So you wouldn't have potatoes with your meat if you were eating meat. You wouldn't have bread and cheese together. Okay, I'm not doing any of that and I never liked cheese, but as somebody said at the yoga center in Portugal, have the bread, have the cheese, outgo the hips. You know, and she was brilliant. And but it's true. It makes it too difficult on digesting it and breaking it down.
Right.
And so I did that, but of course I was doing it very, very well, but not getting proper advice. And but that's fine. Sometimes we have to learn the difficult way. And then, of course, once I did get to Hippocrates and learned about all the green vegetables and the sprouts, sunflower, pea green, wheatgrass, you name it definitely changed my life. But sometimes we have to go through experience, and that's what it was for me. And even when I did go and try and get advice here in the UK, food in those days was not, there wasn't much experience with it. Now it's probably a bit more confusing, but in between, we've had some really fantastic knowledgeable people around, and so
Was the talk in London with Hippocrates, was that the first exposure to the raw food idea, or had you, I mean, even how did you go vegan? How did that all happen? Was it all before that?
I'd start, no, I think I was building up to that. I'd already started, yes. And then it happened to be at a nutrition college, and the talk that day was on food. I think I must have seen it sitting there and thinking, oh, I must go. He's talking about food. And of course, at the time, I thought it was only food. And when I said I'd like to come out and work and do things and whatever, I assumed, oh, I'd get a job working with food. But then I realized it was a little different. And it did change my life. But then when I got out there, it was a big difference. But it was through a talk. It was Brian Clement who was speaking. And I didn't, I wasn't, I was at the time doing events with aloe vera juice at the time. And I know I never went to the evening event. I think in those days, when you look back, that, there were a lot of words one didn't like. The word hippie or holistic, or going back in the 90s, early 90s. And then someone said to me the other day, but you're hippie. Or the other month, you're hippie, you've become one of those, So I said, yes, I agree. And the word holistic is part of my whole teaching. So it's just the way things were. And so
You mentioned some aloe vera juice. Was that something before you got into Hippocrates and all that you were involved in, I guess, drinking aloe vera juice and
well, I at the time, I was living with a partner, Peter, and I, in those days, I was drinking alcohol, but I don't anymore. I was getting the hangover now, not tomorrow, and that just ruined it. So, but just prior to that, I wasn't paying the out for the alcohol, and so I thought, okay, well, I can afford to do the aloe vera, and it was I'd seen in a magazine. It was liquid. And I thought, oh, good, it's not tablets. So I started taking it. And then I drank quite a lot per month. And it made such a difference. Had I really got into things like wheatgrass, et cetera, wheatgrass juice and greens, that would have been even quicker. But, it's all experience. And so that's what changed my life. The company was Australian. And they used to give us nutrition trainings, which was wonderful. They were fantastic. I think they were the best. I think they are the best. But, as I say, I support what other people that bring stuff into the country. I'm not going to wait for shipping to come in. We all have to pay tax on things, but that's not the issue. It's more other people are doing a lot of hard work bringing stuff in. So I must
Sure.
support whatever's here.
I
And
think
there's other companies, there's good companies.
that's
Sorry?
interesting. I think it's interesting what you're saying there, that this company, although they were distributing aloe vera juice, they were actually giving nutritional trainings. That's quite interesting.
That was fantastic. And we used to go down. They were based out of London. And we were so fortunate and met some interesting people who were very, keen on getting out there, knew how to, your sponsor or whoever signed you up, and it was fantastic. I'm not so brilliant at, I always joke and say I'm not so brilliant at making the money, but I'm good at spreading the word. If I think something's good, that's fine. If something's bad, I'm not going to talk about it.
Right.
Because we all think differently. But if it, and it was brilliant. So. It's I even brought loads of out of date stuff at the end before they left, and I drank it all, and I'm still here to tell the tale.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. There's been a lot of companies maybe I always personally tend to think that just having drinking eating the fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff is the best thing. But it's interesting to me that a lot of companies that do things like even selling supplements or certain products, that part of what they do on top is what you're saying, adding in trainings and nutritional information and weight loss information and stuff like that, that a lot of people wouldn't maybe get other places, and they're kind of maybe attracted in by the juice, but there's all this other stuff they get given as a part of it, I suppose.
Yes. It's, mean, you can't live on supplements alone, and not all are good, unfortunately. That's, they say we have a supplement sewage mountain somewhere. Because there are various books out there about what's good and what's bad and all the rest of it. But I still do drink aloe vera juice, have my green ju vegetable protein juices if I haven't got what we originally were taught to put in it. So I replace it with other things. To me, it's medicine. If you don't like the taste, it's medicine. And then gradually your taste buds change and it becomes much easier. I prefer it without the fruit. I remember going somewhere. It was just, they're not with us in London anymore, but I went there for a have lunch and I ordered a green juice, but I said no apple at the time. And when it came, I said, "Oh, there's apple in it." I could taste it. It was too sweet for me, believe it or not. And they said, "No, we didn't." And of course, they hadn't washed out the juicer,
Oh, wow.
and so the flavor was still there. I still, So it's that, but that doesn't mean, I'm that fussy the whole time. It was just at the time. But and of course, green foods are oxygenated, so it puts oxygen into the body. There's all that. And if we could have fruit picked direct from the tree, then that is real fruit, as I call it.
Well,
But of
what?
course,
Why would that be limited to fruit? What about, why couldn't the other, would you not say that about other foods as well?
Oh, yes, if we could have everything fresh. I mean, I support farmers markets, London farmers markets or farmers markets UK, where they don't actually have to have the organic certificate, but they have to be part of an association. Now, in Portugal, there are parts of, well, I know a very good company that I've been buying off them for years, and they had to have the organic certificate. But that every rule is different in every country. So I support the farmers markets here. And I always joke and say, if it's raining, I'll be there even more so because you've had to come such a long way. And then if no one turns up, it's so unfair. But so yes, if we could have, so most of the stuff you get in the farmers markets officially is in season. Yes, there's one or two places that are growing things out of season. People never understand, like cucumbers, there's a season for that. But if we have them now, they are very expensive because they're out of season. Or they brought them in from another country. But the farmers markets have to be grown within 125 UK miles, wherever they've come from. So,
So let's get back to your story. And you went to this Hippocrates talk in London, and up to that point, were you already vegan at that point?
I think I'd become be vegan by then.
Did you notice any changes by going vegan?
I did at the time, other than I hadn't got the balance of food, which of course I didn't really understand at the time. But what I noticed, as I said earlier, any form of meat, whether it was fish, meat, red meat, you name it, I noticed when I wasn't eating it, when I stopped eating it. Let's say I stopped it because, right, no meat for January. And then I noticed I was much calmer. I wasn't getting so angry or answering back so much. And or like nowadays, I miss the bus and I go, I could have left earlier instead of blaming the bus driver, as everyone does. you'd be amazed how angry people get. But so then and then I was giving other things up. I think I gave up fish last. In saying that, that's probably the one we should give up first. But in saying, it just depends where you get it from. But and then I noticed, and then gradually I was just changing and giving things up. And I used to be addicted to eggs, which of course is lack of protein at many times. And I thought, I haven't had eggs for ages. I'd even go and buy a box, and then it sat in the fridge and never got used.
Oh,
So
wow.
my addiction from eggs went away, and so things changed dramatically. So I would say I did it over 8 years. And I didn't, you see, people say, oh, it's so difficult. You go into a restaurant now and people, they haven't got vegan and they don't like the fact you're vegan and this. Well, I didn't find it difficult in those days, and that was far less. But I just look at a menu. Oh, I just went in one when we decided to go and eat. Someone who was a student with me in London and doing naturopathic nutrition, and we went down, and I just said, "Oh, I'll have this and this." But actually, if you talk to the chef, I said they're all artists, and just he'll probably raise his eyebrows and say, "Oh, no." But I said, "Could I have A, B, and C?" And da da da. Well, what came out, I always remember, it's years ago, it was lovely.
Yeah.
He had no complaints at all. So I don't think you can blame the chefs, but give them a compliment first and they'll be happy. It's just that many chefs have to do exactly as their job tells them,
Sure.
and I respect that too.
So the how did you end up at the Hippocrates talk? Where was it, and do you remember the subject or anything?
Well, I seem to remember the subject was food, but I can't remember the rest of the title. It was to be, it might have said living foods, or, but it was to, at the time, it was at the Patrick Holford's place that was in Putney at the time. And I went there for the talk. It was only down the road. It's not there anymore. I'm not sure if he owns it anymore, but it's Richmond Way. But I went there, and there was a group of us being afternoon, not so many people, but I think we've all met outside since. But it was a lovely, interesting talk, and the fact it was food, my addiction, of course, it was very interesting. But I didn't think I'd ever get to Hippocrates because it seemed so expensive. Mind you, in those days, rate of exchange was like $3 to the pound. You didn't appreciate it at the time, but gosh, when you look back, you do. But I couldn't have gone, but then I was fortunate to have been left some money soon after, well, about 3 years later, and I put it to good use and I went over there. And as I say, the rate of exchange was fantastic, not like today. And that's when I ended up going there. I did the 3 weeks and then went back and did the full Hippocrates health educator course. And then I went off to Chile to stay with friends, came back a bit earlier for various reasons. And went to Hippocrates and said, "Can I do some voluntary work?" And they probably thought I was going to lick a few envelopes, get my free lunch, and I won't swear, and go off. And no, to me, I came in first thing in the morning. I stayed with friends down the road in those days, other friends, and just came in every day, worked every day, left about 10 and arrived at 6, left about 10. And all I wanted was my food. Of course, nowadays, up until lockdown, I was out there every year for a few weeks, gave talks, did the whole thing, worked in the kitchens. The food, of course, becomes less important because it's not so difficult to prepare and all that. But at the beginning, you think, oh, God, I need the food. And it all it changed my life. You know, we're all very glad we went there, anyone that has been, because it was a great start, to be honest, to becoming vegan, to understanding the healthier side. Just because it's vegan doesn't mean it's healthy. Those are my words. Because I see what people eat, and one person who was so sick met here who had cancer, and she was introduced to me, I think actually through Brian, when he was giving a talk somewhere. And I said, well, the one thing you've got to come off is the raw dessert. But they're raw, they're healthy. Poor thing. And but a friend of hers was there and said, that's true, you know, because sugar's feeding the problem. But you've got to get the right balance. Just because it's raw doesn't mean it's healthy. It's getting the right, if it's gourmet, it can be delicious. We all know that. But if we're eating the heavy duty stuff too much, then it's difficult for the body to break it down. That doesn't mean you don't treat yourself occasionally.
So what did you learn with your first visit to Hippocrates?
Well, you learned about the green protein juices. You learned about the sprouts, as in wheatgrass juice, wheatgrass juice, and then you grew about the learning of growing of sprouts, as in sunflower, pea green, you name it. You know, for people who don't understand that, then the alfalfas of this world, but the whole variety and how they've got different forms of protein. How, you know, people talk about having legumes, as in chickpeas and bergonzo beans, or lentils, etc. But once they become germinated, they become easier on the digestion. They become a pre-digested food. And whereas often when we have some delicious Asian foods with lentils, etc. You get a lot of gas, or a lot of you know, excuse the language, farting, and one never understood why. But once you germinate and the body gets used to and improves the digestion, then it becomes easier to eat. Chickpeas or garbanzos take longer to digest, as delicious. They're much better once they've germinated. I have none to show today. I kept thinking I was speaking to you next week. I thought, oh good, I'll have a load of sprouts. But then I just put the date in, and then I thought, oh, you've done it now, leave it. at least I said that to myself this morning. And so we learned an awful lot through that. That really did help us, I think. Because at the moment, you know, I mix with a lot of different communities. As I say, I'm South London with a lovely group from Harrow, and I go, I'm a lighter shade of pale. And we always teach, we're on groups together. And, you know, I know they eat a lot of beans and things, but they don't germinate it. And so you know, we're going to be doing workshops together. And so then I can show it to them. And it does make a difference. It's understanding herbs as well. Many vegetables are herbs. But depending which herbs, you know, you wouldn't overdo the garlic. Yes, we need garlic, but I've learned not to overdo it, i.e., in my juice. I did it once. Oh, did my heart beat? And someone said, no, that was the liver overworking, you know. So it's understanding what different things can do to your body and how they can help. But just because we overdo something doesn't mean you'll heal quicker. You know, it's one step at a time with understanding and guidance. Those are my words as well.
Brilliant. And the health educator program, what was that like?
That was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And we were very fortunate those days to have Victorious. Not sure if they're doing the program at the moment, but the people that ran it, it changed each year with different organizers. And then the last many years, it was brilliant. I don't think they're doing it at the moment, but it was a fantastic course. And you did various, it wasn't just teaching sprouts. There were different subjects, and explaining that I always say the food is a small part of it, but we've got the rest of it. What's going on in here? And I often say to people, why did you get cancer? And they go, it's in the family. And I laugh and go, wrong answer. You don't have to get it, and work out why and what's going on. It didn't happen when you got diagnosed last week. It didn't happen there and then. It could have been 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. What are we hanging on to? And it doesn't matter what it is, even colds and coughs. Someone says, I had a cold. I've got a cold. How come? Oh, well, I was in a room with a lot of people. And as someone knows who I mean by that. And I, you know, no, I'm in a room with a lot of people many times, but I don't get colds anymore. I haven't had colds for years. If I get one, well, that's my fault, from overdoing or whatever. But I always say sleep and drinking water is very important. If you don't do those two things, I don't think I can help you. Or at least I can't help them. They have to help themselves. But I'm joking. But then we laugh and then we work out what's important and what's not. And even if they don't learn like water, learn to drink it. I was brought up with water. I've always liked water. It's not been a big problem. But then I wasn't brought up with fizzy drinks at lunchtime. And I never liked Coca-Cola, so, or lemonade. So, you know, that wasn't a big issue for us, or for me anyway.
So, Hippocrates is quite well known for having a little bit of a, and I wouldn't say anti-fruit message, but they don't really serve a lot of fruit there. I don't know what they teach on it. What's the teaching
Okay.
there? And
They have fruit twice a week. And as you can imagine, that is quite a busy table. But basically, they're not encouraging. Well, if you could have fruit, ripe fruit, as opposed to soft fruit, if that makes sense. So if it was like I've had figs in Portugal straight from the tree or in Greece. Oh, wow. But when I had figs from the fruit store here in England, I thought it tasted awful. No offense, men, but they have to pick them so far in advance. And even in Portugal, they have it brought in from Spain and a lot of their vegetables and fruit. And of course, it has to be picked in advance so it can stay on the shelf longer. So when I'm in a store there and I look and I think, oh, they look mushy. Oh, they've come from next door. I'm going to buy those. Whereas a lot of foreigners won't, they want it to look perfect. But I want the sweetness of a real fig. But it's what they're trying to say is, you know, we need, if we're going to have fruit, we need ripe fruit from the energy from the sun, basically, gaining thing. But they don't encourage it because it's a lot of sugar, and they prefer you to eat fruit as opposed to blend it. But then everyone's different, you know. It's not overdoing it, but they have fruit on a twice a week, Wednesday, I think it is, and Sunday mornings. I think it's really just in case because it's fasting day, juice fasting, green juice fasting day on a Wednesday, assuming they're still doing that. And but there's fruit there in case you don't feel so good or your sugar levels are unbalanced. Of course, suddenly everyone's sugar levels are unbalanced, if you know what I mean. I'm being facetious. And then on Sunday, because it's the weekend, you're not doing, there's not so many classes and talks and things, and more free time. So in case they don't feel so good and they haven't drunk their juice, they might feel they need to have some a quick fix of sugar from fruit. A lot of their fruit, not all obviously comes from Florida, because a lot of, I mean, I've seen boxes come in from other in the kitchens, and they've probably bought locally from the supplier, but it's come in from Israel or Holland. You
Right,
know,
right.
that's what we've been doing too much of around the world. But that's the way it is. But that, I'm not anti-fruit. I just don't eat a lot of it. But that doesn't mean, you know, when I'm somewhere, I love fruit. I mean, I think it's delicious and it's great. But then I also love vegetables too. And if I get the balance, I'm okay.
And you went on from there to start to help other people out. And is that something you're still doing? And how have you done that? And
Well, I suppose I was quite fortunate when I started because I was one of the first health educators, I think, because whenever Brian and his wife were in different countries, I made sure I was there. I don't do that so much now, but well, mind you, we haven't had him here, but I don't. There have been many more people trained since then because it was 1998 when I trained, and it seems so long ago. But anyway, it's I was very fortunate to hear a lot of talks, and then I love to present stuff. So I've got a, used to have tables of wheatgrass, you name it. Then people knew where to find me. Oh, just look for all those. One company used to give me the wheatgrass. I used to take about 24 trays, being the English size, not the big American size, and they give it to me. And when it was, I used to do a lot of shows. So we used to have the organic food and wine in Bristol. Now that one is about health. Was about health. It was pointed out to me because then I did a vegan one. And I said to someone, I don't understand it. I've normally got through 24 trays at the other, at the organic food and wine. And I said, but I've still got loads left. And it's only Saturday evening. And this girl said, but Jill, this isn't about health. About health. They know why they're going. And I thought, what a good point. And I wish I could remember who it was. I've had some very good comments from people. It's like talking about fruit. Pick them in spring, well, they're in season now, but pick, they'll be out of season soon, but they're in season in the winter and our time. And in, we, even though oranges are quite acidic, they're delicious when they're yoga teachers training are picking people up from Spain to go to Portugal. So we ate these delicious oranges. And a couple of months later, I was back in England and I thought, I'll just go to the local store and just get some oranges. And I looked at them and I thought, oh, they're not orange. So I said to the guy, I'm sorry to say, but these are not really orange. And he said, telling me, my family have a plantation in Spain and I have to sell these. But that's because a lot of the fruit like that comes in, and bananas and things come into the country green and they're kept cold storage and then they're gassed before we receive them. This is in the large supermarkets. I can understand they've got a business to run, that's the way it is. But once you've tried something, what I call the real fruit, I brought lemons back from Portugal in to a workshop from my friend's house and I've gone, I've got real lemons. And someone says, yes, I have those. I said, and they tell me where they bought them at a supermarket. And I go, no, these came from a tree. I'm being facetious, but what I'm trying to say is, as you know, have it straight from the tree when it's ripe or it's fallen to the ground, it becomes real and it's the right shape. It's the shape it should be, as opposed to most apples in supermarkets, sadly, will be all the same shape. That's not how it works really on a tree, but anyway, there we are.
So what would be a typical day for you in terms of your diet, and has it been quite consistent over the years? Has it changed? Do you stick to raw food, or how does it work for you?
I'm not 100% raw, but I'm probably a good 75% plus because I drink my juices and get my protein through that. And I always say I'm not perfect. I preach a lot and pick some of it up on the way. So some of my customers go, oh, you're a real person. And but I do my best to have sprouts if I've grown them, or I've had deliveries from Akenbury Sprouts. Occasionally, when I'm doing an event, I like to use a company as well. Because otherwise people want them like mine, and I'm not growing to sell as such. I'm I like them to see what we've got. I mean, if we could have things shipped from other countries, we would, but it's not possible. But and we have a lovely range from Akenbury Sprouts, and I've used them for years. And so I try to eat that and do vegetable soups and things. And yes, I do eat some cooked, not overcooked, but I'm and if I'm out and we're out somewhere, I go with the flow of what's in the restaurant. I don't make it an issue. I've never made it an issue, So, but I've never pushed to be 100% raw, but it does make a big difference when you are, even when I'm at Hippocrates there, or I've gone to any, I've been to one or two others, and I make the most of it because the buffet's there. Go for it. I haven't even had to wash the dish at that time,
So you mentioned doing events and things like that. Is that retreats, classes, and are you currently actively still doing that, or what is it that you how are you helping people basically?
Well, basically, I do consultations, or I love my workshops, which are get, or classes are going to start up again because with lockdown we couldn't, and there's still a bit of a fear, I think, from some. But I'm getting inquiries now, so I will start those. I've decided once it gets a bit warmer, and then I'll do them regularly. And I'm doing public events as well. I mean, we've got Veg Fest coming up. I'm doing that in Brighton. I did it last year. Well, I'm doing something else. I'm doing another event. But I'll go anywhere that I can go. And I like to be there, and I like to have a table as well, have a stall or something, because then I call it my comfort blanket. I'm behind it, and people come up to talk about what's on the table, and then it becomes a talk. And things like that. So we've got that. I believe we've got Brian Clement suddenly coming next week, all a bit short notice, apparently. But I've said I'll have a table at one of the events.
He's coming to Veg Fest soon.
No, that's not Veg Fest. I think he's coming. He's coming into somewhere in central London. I think they've organised it because we said it was too short notice. And given a week's notice, you can't, you've got to get people to come. But I think that things are being organized. And I only knew yesterday, so I'm got to get something on my website once I've got the information. But it helps when you meet other people there, or there might be previous clients, previous people, if they've heard about it. But that's fine, And then I join lots of groups online where it's spreading the word. And I've given a lot of talks online that people have organized for me. We've got, what have we got? World Vegan Market Online, which is organized by someone called Shivari. And she's done brilliantly for the last 3 years. And we get, she organizes talks with us. And which I do from the kitchen, and show all my sprouts or put something to show off about. Oh yes, I'm still doing it. I'm not doing so much in Portugal now, because things have changed. I mean, when I started, vegan restaurant wasn't known. Now there's so many, And so I was, as I say, I was fortunate to be one of the first. Now I have to think about it again. Put it all together. But people are wanting the workshops, and there's not so many of that. They're wanting things that are easier. They don't want to make things. So even though we soak and dehydrate nuts and seeds and things like that, there are products out there that are already done. They might not be the cheapest, but if they want it ready done, there it is. So I'm looking into things like that at the moment for people.
So if people want to get in touch with you, how should they find you or follow you?
Well, I'm on, send you all the information. I'm on, have my website. I have, though I've got to update it. We've got, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook. I have two pages on Facebook, but the friends one has more information. Just depends what I'm in the mood for sharing. Sometimes it's food, sometimes it's be calm, type things. You know, I just it just depends what goes on. So I'm my name, I always say my name is my they can contact me through my name, Jill Swires. That's my Facebook, that's my
Website,
website,
right.
jillswires.com. So it's even though I'm called Living Foods for Health, I find Jill Swires is easier as long as they remember how to spell it. But it usually comes up. They find me in the end. I'm not hidden away that much.
So
So
you've obviously worked with a lot of people and been at Hippocrates a lot. What would you say are some of the success stories that you've seen?
oh, brilliant success story. You know, I always say there's no guarantee. People don't like that. But, you know, unless you work at it, because there's so many words we can't say. I can't cure them. A doctor can't say that. I can't heal them. And I can't help them. I can guide them. I can make suggestions. They have to help themselves, cure themselves, help them, you know, do all that. And so, but I see people, let's say at Hippocrates, come in. And I will say, I remember one guy from Portugal actually from, had MS, many cancer, diabetes, insulin, saw him off insulin in 5 days. Remember, there's doc, I mean, I'm saying there's doctors there to guide them. There have been wonderful success stories. It doesn't work for anyone, everyone, because not everyone wants to go there. They're pushed there, they're paid for to go there. They, you know, they don't want to change their foods. If they were able to stay longer, maybe that would help. But I think it's not easy. And we are all food addicted in our own way, even if we don't want to admit it. But I mean, I remember one woman came in and I said she had a long grey plait, didn't look happy, was exhausted, you could tell. I said, you watch her, she's going to transform. I just knew it, but they went, oh, Jim, you don't know what you're talking about, sort of thing. I always remember. And she transformed in 3 weeks. She worked in a prison. And I believe she came back again. Someone paid for her to go there, but she loved it. Of course, the problem is the food at where she works probably isn't, doesn't help. But in saying that, she probably learned to understand everything about it. The same with the guy with MS. He got it through drugs. And I knew about him more because he was from Portugal and everyone was going, Jojo, there's someone from Portugal. Oh! And I went away for a few days to help someone in their food restaurant. It was raw. And then came back. Jojo, you've got to see him. He hasn't got his walker. And da, da, da. It worked beautifully, but it did come back because, of course, he went back to old habits and things. And in the end, came back, I think, for 6 weeks, and he did wonderfully. That doesn't mean it works for everybody. And of course, then when you get home, I always say, concentrate on the juice. Don't worry about the rest. And they go, when I say that there in the talks, they say, oh, but he says you've got to do it all. I said, yes, he's right. But you'll give up in a week like I did. And I was a chef and thought it would be easy. And I had some nutrition behind me, but that, it didn't. I thought, oh no, it's easier my way. So we've all got that problem. It's just let's add things and build it up gradually.
Sure.
Even in a workshop, I teach a lot and they have a full meal while they're there. I prefer 2 day ones, but nowadays everyone's too busy. But they get a full meal, juicy, they get the full thing. And some of them notice a difference. And but when they go home, I say, right, but just concentrate on this and that. And then if you want to make something, do that. Gradually add it, gradually. But don't you make it too exhausting for yourself, because yes, you will give up. Freshly made is always best. But if you make your juice in the morning for the day, or if you make it for 2 or 3 days, it's better than not at all. I'm still alive to tell the tale. I keep some in the freezer, but that doesn't mean it's healthy, but it's better than not at all. Or if you're going to buy from a health food store, and there are places that do them, that's up to you as well if you can afford to do that regularly. So one step at a time, but get the understanding.
Excellent. So what are your kind of plans for the future, and what are you hoping to do?
I'd like to, believe it or not, I'd like to continue with it. I did think I wanted a retreat center. I think that's what, but at the moment, I want to get out there more. I'd like to be at the events more. So the more events we get, the better. I attend events anyway, whether I'm speaking or doing there anyway, so people remember who you are, and usually do. I really like to work with people. I think I did say to somebody, maybe at Hippocrates, was it Hippocrates? I said, oh, I wonder if I should go to so and so or so somewhere. And they said, no, you're better out in the real world working with the people or something like that. Because I can read their minds often, what they're thinking, or, I like to put words into their thoughts if I have a gut feeling about something. And that's the way I am. I don't know where I'm going to go from now at the moment. I was offered some work, or indirectly, out in not Sri Lanka, Costa Rica or somewhere. But I thought I was better off here. But it would be warmer weather. So, I'm going to give talks at someone's got a centre now, but Nadia Brighton down in Wales, quite a long way, unfortunately, but she's got a centre there, and I'm going to give a talk down there in July for an event that she's organising with other herbalists, and we'll just see where it takes us,
Yeah, brilliant.
So.
I wanted to ask as well, I think that, as you were mentioning, the Hippocrates will take in people that have cancer, looking to solve that. Do they see success stories with that?
Oh, loads. Oh, loads. There's so many success stories, and people keep going back because they feel they get the encouragement. But no, I've seen it in first they need to, I always say people should do the 3 week program. And oh, well, I can only do 2 weeks. I said, no, if you can do 3 weeks, because then you've got 1 week to get worse, because you have to get worse to get better often. And then second week to get over it, third week to understand it and appreciate it. And there's lectures going on, different talks by different people, whether it's medical or whether it's Brian Clement himself or his wife or various other people. And but fantastic success stories. It's been amazing. I mean, we panicked our first week. I always remember she had a breast cancer and in the lymph, and it got worse and worse. It got bigger, bigger, and it was in the evening. And we rang up the person on duty, and she said, "Stop worrying, it's fine." And she came out just to reassure us. And it was down in the week, but it's like anything, it has to. Sounds funny, it has to come out to go back in, And of course, the body doesn't like, even though we should do our breathing practices regularly, etc., it doesn't really like oxygen because it needs oxygen. So if you give it green stuff or oxygenated foods, I always give the example of a lump, it'll go, ooh, don't like that, and then shrink, which is a compliment. But then, give it sugar or too much sugar or sweet things, it loves it, and then it can get worse. We've got to know what we're doing, And no, the success stories there really are genuine. because I've seen it for myself anyway, and in my own group originally. We had people with cancer, awful migraines. I don't know, there was a whole list of things. And well, one who had the migraines, I think she had cancer as well. It's she's teaching all the time. She's everywhere. Loves it. You know, it changed our lives. So, you know.
It'd be good if you can connect us with any of those people, because we don't get a lot of testimonials of people saying that they've
Oh.
been able to deal with cancer with a raw food diet.
Okay, well, I will put you in touch with, well, the one person with the cancer, I'll get details to you
We can do that another time. That's okay.
another time. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll think about that.
So, what are some of the mistakes that you see people make on the raw food path?
Too much sugar, too many raw desserts.
Right.
You know, that's what they'll do. I mean, even people who stay in Hippocrates, Wednesday is fasting, juice fasting, then you break it with the soup in the evening. And I remember meeting, that's when I was working there, and I met a friend for supper somewhere. We walked in somewhere. Oh, there's some of the guests eating a meal there. You know, okay, it was lovely vegan food, don't get me wrong, but part of the program is to have that break.
That's funny. Yeah.
And I mean, yes, they're taken somewhere usually if they want to at the weekend, and different restaurants once a week at the weekend. But I don't think they expected to see us walk in.
Sure.
But as I say, I believe in certain things they should start with and work with. And if they just do those and don't worry about the rest, it becomes easier and easier. You know, a lot of in London now, and I think most places, the best restaurants have gone. The raw ones and whatever, because the most people who went to eat there didn't live locally. So during lockdown, the Uber deliverers or whatever could only deliver local.
Right.
So if you were somewhere, I mean, I used to take the train over to one, it's gone, the other side of London, and then I just bought a load of stuff and then rang up a couple of friends and said, right, we can split this order. You know, the raw pizzas they did beautifully. So I was known for that. For
Fantastic.
buying them. Yes, I make them, don't worry. But they were delicious. But they've all gone.
Right, I see. What would be your words of advice or encouragement for those who are starting off?
Get advice. Get advice from someone that knows. Because I think that's very important. Even though I was fairly strict with myself, I didn't get advice. So then I'm craving. But it's, you know, when you give up something, let's say you're giving up your meat protein, or, you know, whether it's fish, whatever meat it is, you've got to replace it. Whatever you give up, you've got to replace. And people go, well, why would I? But you need your protein, and protein gives you energy. And you know, I'm full of protein here. Lost the sprouts of protein. They're all different levels. Greens are better, but mung beans, for example, you wouldn't grow those green because then it's unbalanced the original protein that they have. But you know, there's different ways of doing things, and it's. But I always say, if you can get advice, or even when they come to a workshop. They gain more. If they come for a consultation, it's limited in a way. But when you're at a workshop, their question is the one you didn't dare ask, or, oh, that's the same as me. And then there's a bonding going on, a connection, because I think questions are very important. So, yes, definitely get advice first, even if they're not planning to do raw. That doesn't matter. They still need advice, I think, yeah, because you can't just go and buy out everything that's vegan in a packet. That's not going to help.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Jill.
Well,
Really
thank
appreciate
you.
that. It'd be nice to hear your story and your advice and information. And is there anything final you want to say before I just finish off?
Well, to everyone, onwards and upwards, and contact me anytime. And first call's usually free. And let's all stay well and be well.
Thank
And
you very
be as
much.
So thank you very much.
Thank
Good
you,
to meet you
everyone.
online.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for watching and listening on the Love Fruit podcast. And check out Jill Swires, SWYERSJILL for the Jill part of that. You can find her online and on our website. If you'd like to learn more about Raw Vegan Festival in the UK, you can check out fruitfest.co.uk. You can join us at UK Fruit Fest community or Facebook group, and you can join us on Friday nights. We have guests on Friday nights and presentations that are free to join. You can join us there. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening and watching. We'll see you in another episode of the Love Fruit podcast.